Okay, before we open the Word of God, we'd like to pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, and we'd again, as we have a few minutes ago, just acknowledged our need of help. We would do the same again. We look out at different ones, some young and some older, and the need is the same. They need a Savior, and it's something that as much as we can get up and share some thoughts, we have no power at all in ourselves to even stir any thoughts up. And so we would just pray that the Word of God would take effect. We just pray that that would come in our little meeting here in O'Leary, and that the end result of it would be salvation. We don't know how much time any of them have left. And so we would just pray in light of the urgency. We would just ask for thy help, that this would be a good meeting, and that we'd honor thee, and that there would be good listening ears here tonight and fertile soil for the Word of God. And so we would just commit ourselves to thee now, giving thanks in his name. Amen. We'd like to thank each one that's come along to listen to the Word of God. And we're going to begin by reading in Jeremiah 31. This is a place, I think it was Dean that read, was it a week or two ago? Maybe on Sunday. And so just looking at this verse, it stirred up a few little thoughts. So the first three places, we're going to read four. The first three, I don't really have a lot to say on them. We'll say a few things, and the last one I want to say a little bit more on it. So Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now John chapter 3, for a well-known verse, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The last one that we're going to read is in Luke, and it's chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now, in case you've become accustomed or used to hearing these words, I know we can almost, without even looking at the pages, recite them. What we're reading right now is actually the account of a man who currently, what we're about to read, currently is still experiencing the same thing. And that's never going to change. Okay, so just keep that in mind as we read these verses. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, I don't know where his brothers are tonight, because we're not told. I would like to think that they listened to, or at least acknowledge what they knew already, and that they are in heaven tonight, but I don't know that. But what I do know tonight is that you're here. You have an opportunity again to listen to the gospel, to respond to it. And so that would be our hope, is that that's where you would be after this life is over. Now, what I want to speak about, it's a concept that we hear all the time, but it's a concept that I don't think we really, even as Christians, we know it, we hear about it, and we still don't really wrap our minds around it. And it's that one word, everlasting. Because all around us in our world, there's things called lifetime warranty. And I don't know if I've ever committed the good of lifetime warranty or not on different things that we've bought. But things with lifetime warranty, I don't know. Sometimes the company is probably gone before you even committed the good of what a lifetime warranty is. You might have it for 30 years, and that company that told you they'd give you warranty 30 years before, they might not even still be around. We're used to things only lasting for a limited time, very short time. We get clothes very cheaply, and you toss them in a couple of months sometimes. Nothing really lasts, and it's become quite evident at home with appliances at our house. They don't last very long, not like it used to be. We don't know very much about that word everlasting, because it's not something we've really experienced or able as human beings to get our heads wrapped around. Yet the Bible gives us examples. It tells us about things that are everlasting, that will never come to an end. For the young people, the kids, the teenagers, and this is something that has become far more real to me. I mentioned this, I think, one of the last times I was up, but it has become far more real to me in the last couple of years, is how short life is. For kids, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15, even up to 20, 25, 30, it really almost seems like life is not going to end. We know it is. We hear about it. We're told that life's going to end. We go to the funeral home. It's evident there that life ends. And yet for some reason, we still in our own minds think that that's not going to be us. We think that we're just going to continue on forever, and yet all around us we're given examples each and every day. There's kids that pass away. There's teenagers. There's 20s, 30s, 40s. Every stage of life, and yet every stage of life that we come into, we kind of think that we're going to be here forever. It's never going to be us. God tonight wants to get your attention and wants to impress you with this word, even though we can't really understand it. He wants to impress you with this word, everlasting. And he does it in Jeremiah chapter 31. He leaves us with this phrase, everlasting love. He wants you to understand tonight that he loves you with an everlasting love. Just what I enjoyed about it is that it's everlasting love is something that there's nothing that's going to come in between. There's nothing that's going to hinder it. That's quite amazing when we look back how man began, not very long in, and they went completely against the word of God. Not once, but after the first time, it just continued on, and it didn't get any better, it got worse. And yet this phrase is still true. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You know, maybe you can understand that for obedient people. For people that you look at and it seems like they're doing everything right, it looks as though they're honoring God, and you can understand, I can kind of see how God would love them. We know of people who are tremendously compassionate, very loving individuals. Maybe people that you look at and you know they're very godly people. And we can understand God loving them. We look at innocent children, and we can understand God loving them. An innocent child, innocent baby, we can understand that God would love them. There is not one thing. This is a hard statement to wrap our minds around, but there's not one thing that any human being could ever do. I mean any human being or anything that we could do that would change this phrase. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's one of the stumbling blocks that men had, actually. They could understand how the Lord Jesus, he would go to the cross and he would die for good people. They could understand how God would love good people. And the Lord Jesus had to actually come out and tell them, listen, I didn't come for those people who are living good. Just as a doctor is there for the person who is sick and understands I'm sick, I need to go to the doctor for help. The Savior came for people who are sinners. God loves you tonight, regardless of what you've done. The worst individual in history. I don't know who it is. We can think of lots of examples. God, this phrase that we read, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It's true of God towards them. For the individuals that have passed on and who are experiencing the wrath of God for sin in hell, there's never a moment whenever God didn't love them. Never. He still loves. And there's absolutely nothing that any person can do that would cause God not to love them. An everlasting love. It's going to go on forever. Yet you sit here and you hear that, and you push it away. You don't care. You can't wait to leave. And you'll have 6 days where you don't have to listen to the gospel. And all the while, there's a God in heaven who loves you. An everlasting love. And do you know what God wants to give you tonight? He loves you so much. He doesn't just say it. You know, there's the phrase, talk is cheap. Well, this is coming from someone who can't lie. But God went on and he didn't just say, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He went on to prove it. He went on to give us evidence that I love you. And we read about it in John chapter 3 and verse 16. God is standing with open arms tonight. He's telling you that he loves you, and he has something he wants to give you. He wants to give you everlasting life. Now, death is a scary thing. I really don't want to go through death, and I don't know how I'm going to die, and I don't really want to think about it, to be honest. But one thing I know is that I have everlasting life. Whatever way I have to leave, if it's painful or not painful, whenever I leave, I know that I'm going to come into the good of, even though I am today, I'm ultimately going to come into the good of everlasting life. Wouldn't you like to have that tonight? To know that all your sins are taken away. To know that the whole thing is looked after. You know, it didn't come cheap. God offering everlasting life, do you know what it took? It took the death of his son. God loved you so much. He wanted to give you everlasting life, and the only way that that could happen was for his son to go to Calvary. His son, who was sinless and perfect, was to go and to take the place of you sitting in the meeting here tonight, guilty, full of sin, the sins of the whole world, We're all laid on him. Listen, you know tonight what a substitute means. Someone who takes the place of another. That is exactly what the Lord Jesus did at the cross. Is he took the place of the sinner. He took the punishment for sin. And now God is standing back and he has open arms and he's offering this to you. I want to give you everlasting life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read about something else, and it's an everlasting link. There's other places that we could have read, but this is a nice one. We all, well, depending on who's in our genealogy, I guess, it's nice whenever you can say, I'm related to so-and-so, or I know so-and-so. We kind of take pride in that, different people we know, because we have a bit of a link with them. And sometimes we brag about it. Well, I know this person and this person, and it's kind of a sense of pride, right? For whatever reason, I've done it. You've probably done it. Why do we shy away from the fact that we're linked with God in heaven? We're linked with his son, an everlasting link that's never going to be broken. There's nothing that we can do as Christians that's going to break that link. We're joined forever, and all that's his is ours. We're going to be in heaven forever with him. An everlasting link. Wouldn't you like to be able to say, even though maybe you're not going to go out and blare it in the community, wouldn't you like to be able to say, I am linked with heaven? And who's going to separate me from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate me from the love of God? Who's going to be able to break that link? There's absolutely nothing. The devil can't. Death can't. There's nobody in this world that can. I'm linked forever with him. I'm going to go quickly to Luke chapter 16. I don't know if you're going to appreciate what God is offering if you don't understand what we have in Luke chapter 16, at least even in a small part. We read about a man who tonight is suffering. And there's different things that I could mention about this, but one of them that impressed me, that we hear about all the time, is this man and something that is never, ever going to end is an everlasting longing. An everlasting longing. This man who had this longing for a drop of water at least a couple of thousand years ago, to put it into time's perspective, he's still in eternity. It's going to continue on forever. His longing is never going to end. And he wants one drop of water just to cool his tongue. I began to think about this man through his life. How many times do you think it was that he was in his house, and as the rain was falling, he'd watch the rain without giving it a bit of thought, dripping off the roof, drop by drop? How many times do you think he took a cup of water, drink the most of it, he'd put it down, he'd walk away, and there'd be maybe just a bit in the bottom? How many times do you think this man walked through a puddle and kick the water without giving it a second thought, not realizing that in a very short time, these things that he gave no attention to, that he didn't care about in time, now he has this longing, I just want one drop of water to cool my tongue. I want everyone in the meeting to get this, that longing for this man, it's never going to end. I don't believe it's going to move on from that, and it's going to move on to something else. For all of eternity, all he wants is a drop of water to cool his tongue. Whenever he asked for that, the response came back, and he had to come to grips with this, is that there's an everlasting limit in place. See, you and I were not used to that. I've gone back on this a number of times, and I probably shouldn't, but sometimes we put limits in for our kids, and we say, you're not doing this, or you're not getting this, whatever, until this date. Sometimes we go back on that, we give it sooner. We have no idea what an everlasting limit is. This man does. The response came back to him that there's a great gulf fixed. Abraham said to him, I can't go from here to you, and you can't come from there to me. There's a limit in place that's never going to leave. So this man, he's not getting out of hell. He will stand before God to be cast into the lake of fire. The punishment's never going to end. This man is longing tonight. He has to understand that there's limits in place that are never going to end. So how about you tonight? In light of God standing back and wanting to give you everlasting life, displaying everlasting love, all that he wants to give you. And tonight, as far as I can see, do you know what's going on in most of your minds? You're rolling the dice. You're taking a chance. For some, maybe you'll be back next Sunday night. For others, you might not. It's quite possible that through this week you might come face to face with the reality of what everlasting longing and limits, what exactly that means. Going back and thinking about gospel meetings that you've heard, I don't know what your longing is going to be. This man was a drop of water. I have no idea what yours is going to be. It might just be to hear the gospel one more time. To just be pleading, could I just hear the gospel one more time? Not going to happen. Just, even though we don't understand it, just think about that word everlasting. Never ending. I'll leave you with this. What God is offering is everlasting love.